You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. Robin Hoover joins us. She's the executive director of the Yellowstone Country Tourism Region. Been doing that for 20 years. Probably knows everything there is to know about Yellowstone Country. Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm great. How about you?
Hanging in there.
Good.
So is
good.
It fair to say, it's probably not fair to say, but for 20 years, executive director of Montana's Yellowstone Country Tourism Region, you've probably been out and about in that region a little bit, huh?
Just a little bit, you know. Any given day, although I do have to spend part of my time in the office managing the corporation.
Whatever.
I always consider that I have the best job in the state because I get to go out and play. I get to be a tourist.
I know.
What better gig is there than that?
Yeah, and Yellowstone Country is pretty unique in Montana. Now, let's start with everything surrounding the park. Of course, we've been thinking about this because for the last year or so, we haven't been able to get out and about as much as we would like to. It seems like there's a lot of pressure now on our parks and state parks and camping areas, and we're always reminding people to be safe. But let's start with Yellowstone National Park. How's the park doing?
The park is doing very, very well. In fact, it's having record numbers. It's back up to or higher than the levels of 2019. However, at Yellowstone Country, as we like to say, we're always about not loving our park to death, so we focus on Yellowstone above and beyond. So by all means, visit the park, but when you return for your visitation or after you've gotten your time in checking out everything there is to see and do down there, come north of the border and spend time with us.
Oh yeah, a lot of stuff. We'll be visiting Red Lodge. We'll be visiting Chico Hot Springs. Let's talk about that volcano. When is that thing going off? Yeah, the caldera. that's this end of life thing that's just sitting right in our backyard.
Well, we don't focus on the end of life thing because
yeah.
It's going to happen if it happens when it happens.
Right.
So,
you couldn't do anything about it anyway.
No, we couldn't.
Yeah.
So, but it's as active as always, you know, always changing things around down there and, you know, causes some of the geysers to go off that haven't gone off in many, many years and causes others that have been that have been active to go dormant. We just never know. I leave that up to the scientists.
Yeah, I know.
Tell us about that info.
It's really fun and it's a great place, but there's a lot of places to visit there. Regional events. Let's talk about some of those because I think right now there's a lot of rodeos that are kicking back into gear.
There sure are. So starting in Red Lodge, which I know Tim will address a little bit, but they have their big signature annual rodeo coming up, and I believe they have Extreme Bowls to go with it. We have the PBR. For those who don't know, PBR is a Pro Bull Riders Association, and they have their annual event up at Big Sky in the last week of July. I believe it's the 25th, 26th, and 27th. It's an interesting thing with the PBR there because if you go onto the PBR's website, the Cowboys consistently rate the PBR event up in Big Sky as one of their personal favorites. So that's always kind of a bragging rights for Big Sky to tell everybody about when they're promoting their event. So, and then we have always Livingston, one of the oldest rodeo shows and Independence Day celebrations coming up over the 4th of July. Time period, usually the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th is their time frame, and they always have that big parade and a big rodeo that gets all the PRCA cowboys there. So lots of rodeos in the region.
You try to get them to spread it out a little bit because, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of places you can go on any given day or any given weekend. You know, as executive director of Yellowstone Country Tourism, do you try to get them to spread it out? Do you manage that? Or I'm sure all those local communities have got to do their own thing in their best interests.
They do, and they decide when. You know, personally, I'd like to see it spread out just a little bit more, but as you know, we live in Montana, so we have a short window to get things in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, they decide based on, you know, what works best for their communities. But they're always open to hearing input, and then, of course, like all of us, they go and do what they think is best. So
over 20 years, what has changed in that region?
The amount of visitation,
yeah,
it consistently goes up for us, and I would say that the tourism offering also, though, goes up because we have, you know, more and more, I would say, tourism-related businesses. Agritourism is becoming, you know, quite a thing in our region. That's where it's the farm-to-table concept. And working with, you know, our food providers that we possibly weren't doing as much of 20 years ago. So that's one that always comes to mind for me when I get asked that question.
Robin Hoover is with us, Executive Director of Yellowstone Country Tourism. It's visityellowstonecountry.com for more information. Website's just full of stuff there, lots of events to kind of peel through. And when you're out doing a little 406, and it's Gallatin Park, Sweetgrass, Stillwater, and Carbon Counties. There's a lot of musical events throughout the summer, too, right?
There sure are. So we have a couple upcoming ones, the Red Lodge Songwriters Festival, which is going to be happening, I believe, next weekend, and I know Tim will address that a little bit more. But that's a big one for us, and Yellowstone Country provides a cultural tourism grant to help fund that, to keep it going and growing every year. And that's an organization that does great work in bringing songwriters from Nashville and from around the state and the region there for a few days to not only work on their craft, but also to interact with the communities and visitors to the community to help promote the music industry. So that's a great big one for us. And we also have in August kind of focused on fiddler music as well, all kinds of music, but primarily they like to focus on fiddle music. But the Musicians Rendezvous, which is a local event for sure in Columbus, but is also bringing in non-resident visitors primarily from around the state. But so that's one of those backyard festivals that if, say, you live in Miles City or Eastern Montana or up in the Great Falls area, you might want to run down. It's a weekend-long event in mid-August, so that's always another big one for our region.
So people just bring their campers to these events? Is that...
They do. So in Red Lodge, they can certainly find camping options at the Forest Service and private RV campgrounds around the area, but there's also plenty of lodging in the community itself. For the Musicians Rendezvous, camping is highly encouraged. It takes place at the local Itchkape State, it's not a state park, it's a community park, and they have lots of camping in there, both tent and RV, so that's what they encourage, is come and hang out for the weekend and just listen to and or join in playing the music.
The thing about summer, it does go fast in here, but there's a lot of activities. There's good hunting in that area. I know that you guys focus on that too. Hiking, you can hike in wintertime. You can hike year-round, and I know that you're it's one of your favorite pastimes, and mine too, for that matter. So you got Big Timber, you've got the Bozeman area, Livingston, Red Lodge, Yellowstone National Park. Talk about the hiking. Maybe take us on one of your favorite hikes.
Well, one of my favorite hikings is just right out my back door here in Bozeman, and that is the Drinking Horse Mountain Trail, which sits directly across from the M Trail, which is, of course, is for the Montana State University. But Drinking Horse, although it hasn't been in existence near as long as the M Trail, I love it because it is a hike that is great for people of all physical abilities, as well as has beautiful scenery and vistas when you get to the summit, where they have some really nice resting areas, benches, that sort of thing, that overlooks either the Gallatin Canyon, or you can do the 360 and turn around and look over the Gallatin Valley. So it's just a wonderful hike. It has definitely a steep side to it for those who want to get more of a workout, but then they have a what I call a gentler side that you can take the longer, slower way up and just kind of amble your way. And as I said, it's great for all physical levels.
Yeah, I've been on it many times. Highlight Canyon, that's another real popular and a real beautiful area.
Yes. So, of course, the paved up to Palisades Falls, the trail is paved all the way, so even handicapped, accessible for people who have the physical challenges that want to go up and see the falls, as well as a number of trails that kind of offshoot that, where you can wander along the creek or you know, just kind of get off by yourself, away from people. Great place to, although it's a popular one, you never feel like you're in a crowded space when you're on those. A little bit more challenging hikes, obviously, would be up to Grotto Falls or up to Lava Lake. You know, Mystic Lake, you can branch off to that trail. So there's any number of trails in the Highlight Canyon that anyone can take. Another favorite of mine out in this area is at our state parks, both at Headwaters of the Missouri out at Three Forks, and then just about a half hour's drive away from there, Madison Buffalo Jump State Park has great hiking year-round, because that area of the region doesn't get near as much snow as, say, in Bozeman or Red Lodge or Big Sky, so people can hike there pretty much year-round. And again, those trails are great for people of all physical abilities. So those are some of my favorites.
So is Sebring Davis a pretty good cook?
She is a very good cook, and she's developed those cookbooks, which are fabulous, and I've been lucky enough that she's gifted me with a couple of them over the years.
All right, stand by. Stand by, because we're going to, she's on the line. We're going to go there next. Sebring Davis, co-owner of Chico Hot Springs Resort and Day Spa, as we're 406 in Yellowstone Country. Robin Hoover also online with us here. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Back here at Voices of Montana with Robin Hoover, Executive Director of Yellowstone Country Tourism. As I mentioned, it's visit yellowstonecountry.com for more information. Sebring Davis now joins us as co-owner of Chico Hot Springs Resort and Day Spa. As I mentioned earlier, too, you know, that property's been around since 1900. It's been well taken care of. They are just the fifth owners there and proud to carry on that tradition. Good morning, Sebring. How's it going?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for being here. Colin's a lucky man.
We're both lucky.
Okay, there you go.
Great place. Yeah, Paradise Valley. We've got each other. You know, we're a mom and pop shop still, so it's pretty fun.
You guys have been there. I know, Colin, you guys bought the place 6 years ago, but you've been partners with the previous owners for 20 years. Talk about that sense of you know, ownership and the care and the compassion that you guys have for that place, because I think every one of those owners at Chico Hot Springs has had that. It just seems like it's one of those, you know, little places that's kind of tucked away that is very special in people's hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. We feel like our family is at Chico Hot Springs, not just literally because we've raised our two daughters there, but also our staff. You know, they're as close to family as it gets. We're all working side by side, and we have a, you know, an expression internally that, you know, you're only a stranger once at Chico, and after that, you're a friend, and then you become family when you come visit as a guest. So that's the way we like to run it, and that's the way we like to communicate to our guests and our community overall. And I think that's what keeps the place feeling authentically Montana. You know, the original owners built it in 1900 as a family. It's been that way ever since, particularly since the previous owners, the Art family, revived this funky old place at the end of the road with the hot springs and a great restaurant in the 70s. And then my husband and I are, you know, really dedicated and lucky enough to carry on that tradition with a good restaurant and lots of fun stuff on the property, like horseback riding and hiking. We like to encourage people to get on the Yellowstone River, which flows through Paradise Valley, as you know, and just, you know, help people find this destination that eventually becomes a tradition for so many people, and we're lucky to be part of that.
Robin Hoover's still with us. Robin, talk about Chico Hot Springs Resort from your position as executive director of the tourism region.
Well, it is obviously one of our big attractions, both for resident and non-resident visitors. But I wanted to expound a little bit on something that Sebring mentioned and have her talk a little bit more about it, because I find this one of the most wonderful things about Chico and what they have going over there is, Sebring, one of the things that I've always been so amazed at is how the return visitors there, as you said, they feel like family, they seem like family, they interact like family. You're on first-name basis with a lot of the return visitors, but they always, it's funny to hear the stories, and when I say funny, I mean in that they come back year after year, but they even ask for, like, their same rooms because they have such fond memories of their experience there.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Robin. I mean, I think the most special guests are the ones that return year after year. I just met a family who was dining in our dining room, and they have come every year for the last decade. They're from Ohio, and their kiddo has grown up there, and they created their own sort of retreat. They come for a week every year for the last 10 years, and they like to stay in the same cabin every year in the 500s. There are these old historic Forest Service cabins that we previously had moved on to the property, and they're very rustic, and that's the cool thing about Chico is you can opt for something ultra rustic, or you can do something more luxurious in our luxury cabins, or you can stay in the historic hotel where the rooms are, you know, simple, kind of more bed and breakfast style. Some of them have a bath shared down the hall. And while some people might not find that very appealing, we also have another couple that's come every year for 18 years. And Hamp and Tanya, they come so frequently, and they always request this one room on the second floor of the historic lodge, so much so that we named the suite after them. And suite is sort of a tongue-in-cheek reference, because it's a very simple room that overlooks the main lodge lawn and has a bath down the hall, and it's called the Montagna Suite after Tanya. And so, you know, we love our guests like that. I'm looking forward to seeing those folks come in August, and I love that they take advantage of everything that's going on in the valley, and how, you know, Chico is a destination by itself. But I don't want to forget, you know, speaking of a tourism region, that
Stand by. I'm going to get, I got to get to a headline break here. So keep that thought. I mean, there's obviously something special going on there. When people like that keep coming back to this, Sebring Davis, co-owner Chico Hot Springs Resort and Day Spa. Robin Hoover's with us too. We are 406 in Yellowstone Country. We'll 406 over to Red Lodge here in just a little bit. Yellowstone Country Tourism Region Executive Director Robin Hoover with us. And from Chico Hot Springs Resort and Day Spa, it is Sebring Davis. I want to talk about the cookbook. I want to talk about the food. But Sebring, let's finish that thought there about Paradise Valley, because, it is a very tight community. There's a lot of support just up the road in Livingston, obviously. But what else is going on there in Paradise Valley?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Chico is the destination in Paradise Valley, is one of the longest running businesses in Montana. But we're also lucky to have a cluster of other really strong businesses in the area that make the valley a destination. And one of those that's cool, it's kind of built up in the last 5 years, is that we're sort of a little live music mecca. And Chico, of course, has music on the weekends in our saloon, but then we've also got live music at Pine Creek Lodge down the road. Mm-hmm. Music Ranch, it has fantastic national acts that come and do an outdoor venue at their place. And then the Old Saloon just a few miles down the road from us has totally raucous outdoor concerts, often sort of country, you know, country rock. And they've built this good business that brings people to the valley. You know, folks will end up floating the Yellowstone or hiking or biking somewhere in the valley. They end with great music at one of these venues, camp out, and then the next day, you know, maybe go into Yellowstone Park or do some more hiking or come and soak at Chico. And I just feel like it's just this blossoming destination to be in the valley, and it's just so beautiful. And I'm excited about those businesses going strong, especially this year, right, where we've got live music back in our lives. Yeah. And I feel really good about telling you all about that aspect of the valley.
Another event I think you wanted to talk about, and this is a race to celebrate the Yellowstone Gateway Protection Act.
That's right. In September, our local community group arranged the Yellowstone Gateway 30K. So as maybe some people might remember, we fought off a gold mine in Paradise Valley that would have been an industrial scale development just behind Chico. And so to sort of commemorate this federal act that was passed, the Yellowstone Gateway Protection Act, we start with a 30K run that begins at our neighbor's Sage Lodge, goes up into Immigrant Gulch, into the Absaroka Beartooth Wilderness, and ends at Chico. It's not for the faint of heart, but you could walk it if you wanted to. And it's on September 19th. We're looking forward to celebrating that big act that was passed federally to protect this gorgeous northern gateway to Yellowstone. So
that sounds
get
cool.
Your running shoes,
yep.
Tom.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to go uphill and downhill.
That's right.
Yep, Immigrant Gulch, there's a little bit of that going on. Hey, thanks, Sebring, for being here. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Western Kitchen, a couple of cookbooks filled with Chico Hot Spring recipes, but maybe some other time. Take care, okay, and have fun this summer.
Yes, thanks so much. Take care.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today. Let's go over to Red Lodge. As I mentioned, Tim Weber now joins us. He's with the owner of Creative Design Works, but for over 10 years on the Yellowstone Country Board, and just a native of Montana and Red Lodge resident for 25 years. Robin Hoover still on board too, executive director of Yellowstone Country Tourism. But Tim, how's it going today?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah,
I appreciate to be here.
Well, appreciate
beautiful day in Red Lodge this morning.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So let's catch up. Everybody's looking at the Robinson Draw Fire, and obviously, I mean, it's right in your backyard. What do you see? What's the updates there?
This morning, I live in a spot where we actually watched the fire come over the top of Mount Maurice and burn down the front of it. It was pretty awesome. I mean, incredible and devastating at this time. So this morning, right now, I mean, seriously, there's no smoke over there. They're claiming some containment. You know, I always appreciate the fact that it's like they're saying 13% containment this morning. And I appreciate that in that they don't stretch it. They're there to make sure that fire is out. And actually, I think they're showing some of it now as I'm looking online at 45%, but they're getting there. So we're lucky. I think the worst of it's over, for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. It's still a long summer ahead here. And it didn't mean to be my focus here, because I want to talk about a lot of things that are going on there that draw people to the area. But obviously, people in Montana have had to deal with fire restrictions over the last several years. How has that affected businesses and tourism, just folks adjusting to that?
I don't think, you know, the restrictions really don't affect tourism. Obviously, if there's a lot of fires and there's a lot of smoke in the area, it's going to, because that, I mean, you know, nobody wants to be in the middle of it. And, you know, just when you live in the mountains, when you live near 1.8 million acres of wilderness and national forest, you're going to have fires. And it's inevitable as the caldera. It's just something that we live with. And it's, for the most part, people understand it. And, you know, and we ask, you know, there's a new initiative within the state of Montana to recreate responsibly. And, you know, we're touting that, and we're teaching people and making sure that they do. It's, you know, you can safely have a campfire.
Robin Hoover, a good place for you to comment on as well.
I would agree with everything that Tim said. And in the tourism industry, one of the things that we like to do when we do have certain restrictions, or we have active natural disasters, or man-made, I guess in this case, could be fires or whatever, but we try really hard to help direct people to an area that isn't under duress. So, you know, spread them across the region and even across the state. It's fine to go to our neighbors if we are, you know, if we're not the best place to be at that particular time. And I think we have a really great internal network where we all work together to do exactly that. So, you know, if the Robertson Gulch fire was not contained as much as it is, and they were still seeing heavy smoke in Red Lodge, our partners in Red Lodge would be helping to push them more over to the west side of the region.
One more thing, too, Tim, before we get to the Beartooth Rally and the festivals and the songwriters, is bears in the area. And I know there was a report recently that involved a camper at Mystic Lake, I think. You've been there for 25 years, over the last 10 years, Yellowstone Country board member. I think we're seeing more and more grizzly bears kind of infiltrating into that urban area, the rural urban area. How are folks dealing with that?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt that they are. You know, it's like Robin says, it's the network then really takes over. Earlier this year, we have, it's in town, basically, where the wildlife sanctuary is right above there, in the woods, and the Rock Creek runs behind there. In the woods back in there, there was a mother grizzly bear and cubs. And so we just, you know, you close the area and you warn people. It's, you know, it's another one of those facts. You know, when you live in the wilderness, you're going to run into wild animals. And the best thing is to be, you know, is bear aware and always carry bear spray with you. I was on a mountain bike ride last week, got to the top of, and was getting preparing for the downhill portion of it. I caught out of the corner of my eye a little bit of movement, and a yearling black bear was there. And don't bother them. Stay away and move out of the area as fast as possible. And then, you know, warn other people. That's the best you can do. We're in their territory when we're out there. And so just be aware.
Yeah.
Everybody stay safe.
Right. And don't encourage domesticating that behavior. So Tim Weimer is with us, Creative Design Works, CDW, Robin Hoover as well. Yellowstone Country here, one of our 406 in tourism regions. So the Beartooth Highway. I don't think there's anything like it in the world.
No, there really truly isn't. The man that dreamed it was a true visionary, and the work that went into it, it would be almost impossible in this day and age to pull it off. And anybody that hasn't been over it needs to. It's like an engineering marvel, and you always wonder. You know, you can stand back and look at the mountains, and unless you can hike up in there, you just don't have an idea of what's in there. Well, this way, I mean, you literally can drive into the mountains and see those mountain lakes and the high mountain plateaus, and it's spectacular.
What is the Beartooth Rally?
The Beartooth Rally is a motorcycle rally that started, oh, man, I think they're getting close to their 20th year, and is based. It was started by a local contractor, Leo Wilson, and it, with the idea that you have the Beartooth Highway, is the number one motorcycle road in the world, or at least in North America. And it, what better place, there is no better place to hold a rally than the base of the Beartooth Highway. So it's a big motorcycle rally. They have a Harley rodeo. There's 3 days of just fun and riding, poker runs.
Robin Hoover was just dying to brag about the rodeo. She was just dying to brag about the Songwriters Festival. But she said, I'll let Tim brag about it.
Yeah, we do. We think that this weekend is actually the Songwriters Festival. It starts on Thursday. Some big names from Nashville are going to be here, including Costas, who is lives in Belgrade, Billings, Montana native, but lives in Yellowstone Country, is in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame, and he'll be here. And I actually saw him in Red Lodge in concert just a couple of weeks ago, and pretty much it was a real small venue, small show, so it was real intimate and nice. So then there's still tickets available for this weekend. And then that right after that, we go into rodeo season, and we have on the July 1st, the Extreme Bulls. It's a PRCA Extreme Bulls. And then that's Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, the Home and Champions Rodeo. And that's named after the Linderman brothers. I mean, we're literally Red Lodge. They're Red Lodge natives. We literally are the home of champions in the rodeo world. And to kind of, you know, when you were talking earlier about all of the rodeos being packed into one time frame, it's the reason that they do that is that you can gather all the best rodeo cowboys and stock into one area, and the cowboys like Livingston, Red Lodge, and Cody all schedule their rodeo performances so that the cowboys can make it from one rodeo to the next.
Yeah.
While they're here, they get the biggest bang for their buck, and because of that, we get to see in our town, we get the best rodeo cowboys in the world.
Right. You almost, if there wasn't another rodeo the next week, you'd have to kick them out of town.
Yeah.
I'm teasing them because it's a fun place to stay.
Red Lodge is the perfect weekend getaway place to live, visit for sure. We love it here.
I want to come back after this break here and talk about the sense of history that's there. Also, that sense, as Sebring had talked about, people keep coming back. Year after year, she talked about a family that comes. They've been there 10 years in a row, another couple 18 years consecutively. That says something that's special and unique about Yellowstone Country. So we're back with more. Robin Hoover, Executive Director of the Yellowstone Country Tourism Region. It's visit yellowstonecountry.com. Throw some more websites out at you. Redlodge.com, BeartoothHighway.com. Tim manages those as creative design work, CDW, and also a board member for Yellowstone Country. Back with more from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Goes by real fast. Tom Schultz alongside tomorrow. Also, we'll be talking about there's been some changes in the legislature that affect wolf management in Montana. Landowners, hunters, trappers, farmers, ranchers, pretty happy about that. It's brought some concern from environmental groups. Representative Paul Fielder from Thompson Falls spearheaded those changes. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Voices of Montana. Concluding here today as we're 406 in Yellowstone Country, Tim Weimer with us, Creative Design Works, also board member of Yellowstone Country, executive director of that tourism region, is Robin Hoover, also online. And Tim, thank you for being here. Let's get right into what's the attraction. Why do people keep coming back? The history of Red Lodge and what's why people keep coming back there.
Well, it sits in one of the most beautiful parts of Montana. You know, I mean, at the base of the Beartooth Mountains, and our town slogan is Base Camp to the Beartooths. 1.8 million acres of national forest and wilderness. I mean, and we sit right at the base of it. I'm fortunate enough, I live 2 minutes from town, but out my back door, I can jump on my mountain bike and I'm on mountain biking trails. That is the attraction. You're 5 minutes from the wilderness, or 5 minutes from a forest, a campground, a hiking trail. And just the pure beauty. We sit right below Red Lodge Mountain, which is a ski area. So we have winter recreation as well. We're an hour away from Billings. So, you know, you have big commercial hub, great airport. We're off the beaten path. We're not on I-90. So you've got to want to come to Red Lodge. And once you're here, the people are just fantastic, and people just don't want to leave. In fact, that's how I ended up here. You visit, you figure it out, you meet enough people, you figure out how to live here. And that's so many of my neighbors, everybody in town is kind of, I shouldn't say everybody, there's a lot of natives as well, but once you're here, you just don't want to go back to the real world. And it's, you know, like we said, you know, everything, it's just cooler up here.
You know, it is. It's literally cooler. We got about 40 seconds left here, Tim, and I'm sorry. Talk about that event that we haven't talked about yet.
The Red Lodge Car Show is coming up. That'll be at the end of July, and it's a bunch of great old rebuilt classic cars, and it's always a fun time. And music concerts, constant. We have some great venues, great artists that live in the area, and so it's... There just isn't, every weekend and through the summertime, there's something going on.
I know a lot of day stops there. Hey, Robin, you've got 30 seconds. I want you to talk about that special event that nobody knows about. That's pretty cool.
Let's see. How about a special place that I want to talk about?
Do it.
The Grizzly and Wolf Discovery Center in West Yellowstone. Great family attraction for kids with their kids programs to help feed, but also the education and learning aspect of it, since it's a rescue for both wolves and grizzlies. A fabulous place to go.
Yep, been there. You're right. Very cool. Hey, thank you guys both for being on the program. Appreciate that. Tim, have a good summer.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yep. Robin, you too, okay?
We'll, thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll check in with you down the road. Eric Young, thanks. Our in-studio engineer. I'm Tom Schultz. As I mentioned, a couple of good programs, a couple of good guests on for tomorrow as we'll talk about infrastructure and wolves in Montana. Until then, thank you guys. Have a great day.